Two major stories have dominated the news this summer: the police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and the clash between Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza. While both stories have now settled into an uneasy peace, San Antonio-based poet Naomi Shihab Nye has a unique perspective, having grown up in both places. She offers us this commentary.
Best self. I grew up in Ferguson, Missouri. No one ever heard of it unless you lived elsewhere in St. Louis County. Then my family moved to Palestine, my father's first home. A friend says, "Your parents really picked the garden spots." In Ferguson, an invisible line separated white and black communities. In Jerusalem, a no man's land separated people, designated by barbed wire. My father and his family had become refugees in 1948 when the State of Israel was created. They lost everything but their lives and memories. Disenfranchised Palestinians ended up in refugee camps or scattered around the world. My dad found himself in Kansas, then moved to Missouri with his American bride. He seemed a little shell-shocked when I was a child. Ferguson was a leafy, green, historic suburb with a gracious red brick elementary school called Central. I loved that school, attending kindergarten through sixth grade there. My father was the only Arab in Ferguson, but he ran for the school board and won. At 12, I took a berry-picking job on Missouri's oldest organic farm in Ferguson. I wanted the job because I had noticed the other berry pickers were all black boys. This seemed my only chance to meet them. We had contests to see who could pick the most in the searing humidity. Ferguson seemed more interesting because we'd obliterated the line. I felt a secret pride. My mom often said, "Be your best self." This seemed odd. It would be 1968 before the Supreme Court ordered American states to dismantle segregated school systems, and Ferguson began mixing it up. We were gone by then. In 1966, my father took our family to the West Bank. I was the only non-Armenian attending the ancient Armenian school in Jerusalem's old city. It was fine to be the other for a change, but I wished we could have Jewish friends too. And I wished the Jewish Israelis we weren't seeing across that line could know the families of Palestine as we did, sharing their humble parties under blossoming almond trees. Our father said when he was a boy, Jews and Arabs had been mixed together, neighbors. Now there was power and domination at stake. Dominate, to exercise control over. Black kids in streets, thousands of Palestinian families. In 1967, with the Six-Day War brewing, my family left Jerusalem. We settled in San Antonio, a majority Latino city, which felt like a relief. White and black people were minorities. There weren't any lines, maybe in the air and in history, but people kept crossing them. Back in Israel-Palestine, nothing improved for the Palestinians, and they were always blamed for it. A gigantic, ominous separation wall was built. Americans elected a half-and-half president twice, which gave many of us great hope. Summer 2014, the news exploded. Massacres in Gaza, not the first time. People who looked exactly like our Arab family. Regular people, kids, sleeping kids. No tanks, no army, no due process of any kind, but they were blasted out of their lives. Was anyone civilized? A Jewish friend sent a one-word message, "Stop!" What could we do? Of course we wished Hamas would stop sending reckless rockets into Israel, provoking oversized responses. Why didn't the news examine backstories more? Oppression makes people do desperate things. I am frankly surprised the entire Palestinian population hasn't gone crazy. If the U.S. can't see that Palestinians have been mightily oppressed since 1948, they really are not interested in looking, are they? And we keep sending weapons and money to Israel, pretending we'd prefer peace. But help is coming to Ferguson. After unarmed teenager Michael Brown was shot, quiet old Ferguson took over the news. Citizens marching, chest placards. I'm a man too. Don't shoot. It's easy to see how delusions of equality in Ferguson, where a white officer might raise a gun against an unarmed black kid, are simply wrong. Why is that harder for people to see about Gaza? People in Gaza actually sent messages of solidarity to Ferguson. I thought I was hallucinating. What if they could all march together? 1.8 million Gazans would really clog old Florissant Avenue. To my knowledge, Israelis have never yet been called militants by the American press, even when they blast whole families to oblivion. It's just defense. A newscaster described Ferguson as a series of stings and hurts. Try the open-air prison enclave of Gaza for stings and hurts. On the news, a Kuwaiti running a Ferguson grocery store says his store has been looted. I think he's the Arab there now. Things will change again in Ferguson. But will things change for Gaza? If they don't, this nightmare of worst selves will keep happening and happening. Look, it already has. And what gets better? Will the United States ever speak out in solidarity with scores of exhausted people burying their dead, staring up with stunned eyes, mystified?